Well, good morning. Welcome to Black Hawk Church today. My name is Joel. It is great to be able to worship with you. I want to invite you, if you're joining us online or whether you're here in the room, let's sing out together and worship our God. In here, would you join and stand with me?
Oh, we're so glad you're with us this morning, church. Let's continue singing to our good God.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough.
Amen.
But you came along and you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied.
Better than you. We claim the words of the Psalms. And Psalm 34 says, taste and see that you are good. Blessed is the one who puts their hope in you. God, thank you today that we get to gather as your people, as people who are blessed by the name of Jesus, as people who are marked by the name of Jesus, as people who long to know you, who long to experience the depths of who you are, who long to see the transformative power of what you can do in our hearts and our lives. We commit this time to you. We're so thankful for it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And everyone together said, amen. Well, again, good morning. And here in this room, why don't you go ahead and grab your seats. And as you do, say hi to somebody who's nearby you. Fifth and sixth graders, you guys are dismissed to head out to the atrium.
And we're so glad you're joining us today in person or online. Here are a few things going on around Black Hawk we want you to know. If you're interested in exploring ministry as a vocation, consider Black Hawk's internship program. We are currently accepting applications for spring of 2023 with opportunities in a variety of ministries. Internships will begin in January and end in May. Apply online by October 15th. Baptism is one of the most ancient and sacred Christian symbols and can be one of the most powerful experiences you have in your journey of following Christ. Our next baptism service will be Friday, October 28th at Brader Way. If you're interested in being baptized at this service, you can fill out a baptism commitment form by next Sunday, September 25th on our website. Here at Black Hawk, we partner with organizations around the world who are committed to justice, equity, and compassion. Since 2017, we have partnered with Food for the Hungry in Bolivia. Their mission is to end all forms of human poverty by going to the hard places and walking with the world's most vulnerable people. One of the ways we can partner with them is through child sponsorships. By sponsoring a child each month, you'll help Food for the Hungry assist the child's entire community to provide food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. If you'd like to sponsor a child, head to our website or visit the desk at your site to learn more about the work of Food for the Hungry. To find out more about any of these opportunities, head to our website or stop by the info desk at your site. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, greetings. Morning. Welcome again to Black Hawk Church. Those of you live in the room today, those of you joining us online, and those of you in the family room, welcome. We are so glad that you are here and that we get to worship together. So you've probably noticed that fall is upon us, which also means a lot of new things are starting up. There's school with new classes, there's football, there's pretty much pumpkin-flavored everything out there right now, right? But here at Black Hawk, we also want you to think about what your next new step would be as we go into this new season. Because no matter how long you've been a part of Black Hawk Church, or no matter what season of life or stage of life that you are in, we really as a church desire that every single person will find authentic relationship and community with others, and then also be intentional to take your next step about your spiritual growth. And we are excited that we have a few ways to do just that, that I want to tell you about. First of all, we have what we call community groups, and these are small groups, and there are many options now from what we previously called life groups, which are small groups that are usually centered around conversation about the Sunday message. We have care groups, we have Bible study groups, and so much more. And actually this week, our middle school and high school students are kicking off their community groups, and you can find information about that on our website. And then we also have something brand new that we would like to invite you to, and those are called our courses. And these courses are six-week learning opportunities in a group setting that are talking about a particular topic. So there's a bunch of topics that'll be available. Some of them are like parenting or how to study the Bible or science and faith and things like that. So you guys, we have options. You can join a group. You can sign up for a course. You can do both. In fact, you could even attend a course with a group, whatever. Whatever it is that you want to do, we just hope that you find a good fit for you. And so you can head to blackhawk.church to see all the opportunities available and to register. But yes, we just hope that you find your next step. And we are so excited to see how God is going to transform our community in this season. So with that, I'm going to hand things over to Matt for today's message.
Well, hey, welcome everybody to Black Hawk Church. Everyone who is joining us online or on our podcast, if you're watching on a screen right now, if you're here live in the room, we're glad that you are with us. So, okay, just a little bit of information about me. My wife, Rachel, and I, we recently, in the last couple weeks, we got COVID. For the very first time. So it was our first experience with this lovely deal. And it took us out, like slammed us pretty hard. And so it's great to be here this morning. I'm just telling you ahead of time that COVID brain fog like is for real. And so in light of that, I might be sticking to my notes a little bit more than usual. So you can just pray for me as we get through this next 30 minutes or so. But honestly, I'm really excited about what it is that we're diving into together as a church today, because we're beginning a brand new series. We're in week two of this series that we are going to be doing called Live This Book. We're from right now, in September, all the way through May, we are going to be looking at the overarching narrative of the Bible. So 9 months together, diving into scripture that way. And man, I just think it's gonna be a fantastic series. We actually did this, I think for the first time as a church, like 10 years ago, where we went through the story of the Bible. It was a series we put together called Eat This Book. And then about 5 years ago, we did it again with a series that we did called Love This Book. And the thing that we did in particular with both of those series was we kind of would do a vertical drop into different places in the Bible, looking at different stories and different things like that to kind of get really the overarching picture of the story of the Bible and the way that that fit. This time with Live This Book, we're doing something different. Rather than dropping down vertically into different stories, we're actually trying to cut the Bible horizontally, to take a look at the main themes, the common threads, if you will, and to take a look at what are the overarching principles that are taught really from Genesis all the way through Revelation that would affect the way that we live our lives. What does it mean to be a Christ follower? What are the things that we pick up from Genesis through Revelation? Common themes that we see overarching through scripture. And that's the way that we're going to be doing things, thus Live This Book. And so Charles last week did an incredible intro. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, if you missed that message, you need to just go ahead and go back and listen to it. It'll help you so much as we're going into this series. But what we've done is we've actually broken up the Bible into 7 different sections that we're going to be dealing with as we dive into this idea. And this is week one of this first series called God's Plan for Humanity. That's what we're going to be talking about really for the next handful of weeks. And we start into the story of the Bible today. And as we do that, we felt like, all right, beginning of the story, it would be worth it to go ahead and introduce the main character. And the main character of the Bible is... Wow, that was really weak, people. So I was hoping I'd get a little more confident answer on that. It had even just been on the screen, God's plan for humanity. Come on, cheat sheet right there. So yes, the main character of the Bible is God. I heard Jesus as well. We'll give you partial credit for that. We're talking about God, big picture. And so I have like 30 minutes to tell you everything that you need to know about God. How perfect is that? I mean, how easy? Okay, reality check, there's no way we're going to be able to get through all of it. But let's be honest, okay? If he's the main character, my guess is we're going to be talking about him every week. In fact, pretty much any week that you've ever shown up at Blackhawk Church since you, whenever you started coming, the person that we talk about is God. He's kind of a big deal around here. But we figured first week, we better go ahead and introduce the main character. And the nice thing is, he's actually introduced to us in Scripture in the very first book, in the very first chapter of the first book, in the very first verse of the first chapter of the first verse. So in light of that, open up your Bibles with me, however it is that you take them in, to Genesis chapter 1. If you grabbed one of the Bibles in the back of any of the rooms that we're in, turn to page 1. That's where we're going to begin. Let's dive into this together. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. Now, we could continue on through the rest of this chapter, but I think that you already are getting an idea. Chapter 1 is basically the creation account of the way that everything was created in the world. And it's an amazing passage of Scripture. And if you notice, right out of the gate, in the beginning, God... we're introduced to the main character, but it's interesting also to take a look in this first chapter what it doesn't say about God that we can actually easily miss. Like if you notice here at the very beginning, there are no descriptor words that are being used here to give us an idea of who God is. There are no adjectives that are thrown out here from the beginning to tell us about the main character. Like it doesn't say, in the beginning, there was God and he knew everything. Or in the beginning, there was God and he was all powerful. In the beginning, there was God. He was infinite in everything that he did. No. There is none of that. It doesn't give us that picture. And yet, we do get very quickly an idea of who this main character is. And what I want to do is I actually want to kind of pick a lane for us to go down that I think when we look at this passage is actually really obvious. It can almost be so obvious that we can miss it. And that is that God wanted us to know from the very beginning that he's a personal God. That God is a personal God. If you're taking notes right now, you need to write down, God is a personal God. Let's go back to this passage for just a minute and take a look at this, because I think it's so interesting to be able to realize. All the words that they use to describe God here in this passage, they're verbs, they're action words that it says. Look at this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from darkness. And God called the light day. And then he called the darkness night. Like, do you see all these things? God hovering, God seeing, God saying, God speaking, God gathering, God separating. All of these things, they're action words. Like, in other words, like we realize that God is doing all kinds of things here, which give us an idea of him being a personal God. Like he is not just some form of energy, like the Force in Star Wars. God is showing a personal side to him. He's doing things, in fact, that we would do as people. You know, like you think about it, like when we think of our lives, like we are people who we speak to one another, we listen to each other, we create things, we gather things or separate things. These are all things that people do. We're getting this idea of a person-likeness of God. So, which actually isn't surprising when you continue on in this chapter, because once you get through all of the creation of everything that took place in this world, is that grand finale of God's creation, he creates human beings. And he actually talks about this in verse 27, where he says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Like, we need to realize, like, we are created in the image of God. And God is an incredibly personal God. Like, when you think about it, when we think about, you think about the people who you're sitting with, or the people who you're sitting in your living room with right now, or the people who you might be listening with, the people who you're doing life with, you are personal with those people. And the only reason why you're personal with the people in life that you're personal with is because you're created in the image of a God who is personal. Like, it's so obvious, we can easily miss it. Now, this is not to say, though, that God is just like a person. You see, when you and I, when we think about people, we think about human beings and all the things that come with human beings. We're not just saying that God is just like a human being. No, actually, he's very different from that. In fact, when Jesus was walking the planet, when he had come and put flesh and blood on, he was in a conversation with a person one time in John chapter 4, where he was trying to explain who it is that God is. And he said this in John chapter 4, verse 24. He said, God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is a spiritual being. And that's the reason why he has the ability to be all places at one time, fully present everywhere. Like, the big theological word that you could use there is omnipresent. He has the ability to be that because he is spirit. He is a spiritual being. But that does not take away from the fact that God is personal and desires to be in personal relationship with each and every one of us. He is a personal being. And really, like, the story of Scripture is the story of God desiring to be in personal relationship with the human beings that he created with, pursuing relationship with them. But, like, okay, what does a personal relationship with God really look like? Like, I'm guessing for so many of us, we hear about that idea that we should have a personal relationship with God. Maybe you've heard before that Christianity, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. That could have been one of the things that drew you to Christianity, like, in the first place. And yet, that's kind of difficult to figure out, isn't it? Like, if we were to dive into your personal relationship with God right now, your personal relationship with Jesus, that gets kind of awkward sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, like, look, I'm a pastor. I'm the professional Christian in the room. I can tell you that my personal relationship with God is difficult at times. Like, I'm just talking for me. I've never seen God visibly, like, in person. I've never heard his voice audibly. There are times for me where I feel like in my own quiet times and times that I spend with God, like, I am more going through the motions. And I am doing things out of obedience. It's one of the reasons why I love the book of Psalms, is because as you read the book of Psalms and you look at the way that people talk about David and the other authors of Psalms as they poetically write about their own relationship with God, there are times where you're reading them and you feel like, man, they have a deep, intimate relationship with God. And then the very next Psalm, all of a sudden, you can hear him saying, like, God, where are you? It's been a long time since I've heard from you. I have no idea who you are. See, I appreciate that because, like, it's so much more the way that my own relationship with God looks. Sometimes it can be really close, and other times, like, it can feel really far away. But the reality is that God's a personal God and desires for us to know him. It's the reason why, as Jesus was praying for some of his disciples at one particular point, in the prayer that he was praying to his Father, he said this. He said, now this is eternal life, John chapter 17, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Like, the goal is for us to not just know about God, but to actually know God. Like, to know him and have him know us, to have this personal relationship. In fact, God's actually wired us to be able to have that kind of relationship with him. You know, if you take time later to be able to read all of Genesis chapter 1 and you look at the creation account of everything that takes place, one of the things that you take away from God is that God is, like, unbelievably creative. unbelievably creative. I mean, when you just think about, when we just stop and pause to take a look at this world, you look at the galaxies that are created, that we're just learning more and more about now through technology and what we have out there. Or like when you stop to think about like the plant and vegetation of this earth that we live on and all the creative elements of everything there. Or then you get into like sea life and birds and animals and all of the different things were creative. God's unbelievably creative. But I think the way that we see God's creativity more than anything else is actually like in humans, you know, in all of us. And I'm not just talking like cultures and people groups and ethnicities and all of these type of things. No, I'm just talking individual. Like roughly right now, I believe the number is somewhere around 7.7 billion people walking the planet right now at this time. That's like just presently. That's not talking all of history, just right now. 7.7 billion. Every single one of those people with a different DNA and a different fingerprint who are created unbelievably differently from one another. All of them with the ability to connect with God. See, God shows his creativity that way, but sometimes I think that we think that, well, and then God creates one way for us to be able to connect with him. No, there's so many different ways. Okay, can we do something fun for just a minute? Some of you are like into personality tests and that type of things to learn more about you. One category I think that we could go with is something that I call head, heart, and hands. Okay, head, heart, and hands that I'm just gonna lump a whole bunch of people into. Some of us here, you're head people. Like you're the people, you think logically. You love to think and learn and dive deeply into subjects and be able to be that type of a person. You like standing on your education and the things it is that you know and learn. How many, all sites, all venues, how many of you head people right now? You can kind of raise your hands. Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. So that's the way that you're wired. You're wired that way. Then there are people who are heart people. Heart people are the feelers, the passionate ones. They love being in relationship with people and understanding the way that people tick. How many of you are feelers? Yeah, that's good. See, it doesn't surprise me. Feelers, they put their hands up a little quicker because they're feeling passionately about that. So, and then some of you are like hands people. You're the practical people. You look at a situation and you want to dive in order to help in some particular way. Like you just think very practically. How many of you hands people? You're those type of people. Yeah, absolutely. So you've got head, heart, and hands people. Now for me, probably not a surprise, I'm a heart person. So I am a feeler, and I mean, that's just always the way I work. I love relationship with people. Now, but my wife, Rachel, actually, she is more kind of the combo of the head person and the hands person. She is a deep thinker and likes to get into subjects. She loves to read and be able to go that direction. But she also, you see a situation that you need help, she's ready to dive in and help in any way, shape, or form. So we're like wired incredibly different. Now, do you think that when it comes to us and our own personal walk with God, that they look the same? Absolutely not. Oh my gosh, they look so different from each other. And if I was told as a person that I needed to, in order for me to connect with God, I needed to do it the way that Rachel did, oh man, I would be dead in the water. Like, see, but sometimes what I think that we do is we look at people and we look at their own relationships with God of people who are wired differently, and we think that to connect with God, we have to do it the way someone who is wired differently than us, we have to do it the way that they did it. Like, I can remember growing up when I was kind of first, like, hearing and understanding this idea of a personal relationship with God, and I was with some different people who their thing that they did was journal. Okay? And it's that they would get up early in the morning, they would read the Bible, and they would journal. Now, any journalers in here right now like that, you just love connecting with God that way. Look, I felt like, well, if I'm gonna connect with God, I need to do it by journaling. And so, you know, I would write, oh man, And it just did not work for me. And then I would like look at the journals of the people who were helping me, and like their journals were like beautiful, you know, as like the stuff that they're writing, the things they're writing, it sounds like poetry, like they're writing lyrics to like worship music, and they're even like sketching pictures, you know, and like it's this like beautiful, deep, like intimate walk with God that they're doing. And then I'd open my journal and I couldn't even read my own handwriting, you know, and I'm like I felt like I would open up, I would start reading and I'm just making the baby Jesus cry because I sound so shallow with the things that I'm saying and the ways that I'm going about it. Look, I have a stack of journals that I have like started and gotten about 12 pages in, and then I'm over it. And if I were to think that's the way that I'm supposed to connect with God, and I would be comparing myself to others, man, I would feel like, man, it just does not work for me. But the reality is I'm not wired that way. You see, I'm wired to be somebody different than that. And so like when it looks at it, like it's so important for us to be able to look at the way that God wired us, to not step in to this comparison game, because the reality is, you know, God, he is so creative. And he's wired us so differently from one another. I mean, head, heart, and hands, that's just one category. Like, okay, think about it. Like, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Are you a thinker or a feeler? Are you a person who loves routine, or do you like thrive on variety? Do you like being with a big group of people, or like just connecting with a couple different ones? See, we're wired differently. You know, we have an amazing staff here around Blackhawk. And recently we had a chance to talk to a bunch of them about the ways that they connect with God best. And the answers were so different from each other. Take a look at this for just a minute.
Going for a walk in nature is kind of where I connect best because my mind tends to run like a million miles an hour. So something that forces me to shut my mind off is just like going to God without an agenda and saying, God, what would you have for me in this moment?
I can feel God's presence through the people that I'm serving, and I can feel God's presence working through me as I serve other people.
I am an early morning person where I like to start my day without striving, and sometimes I'm going to be a late night person talking to God about my concerns through the day.
Early mornings, being in the woods and then seeing the sun come up and just seeing the woods come alive with the light, with the animals, with the trees, almost everything just feels like it's starting anew, and it's a freshness for me.
Something that's been a constant in my life is journaling my prayers. I've like always had a journal with me since I can remember.
So the presence of God just immediately comes upon me as soon as I start praising him and acknowledging him. It even happens sometimes, I don't know, when you sleep, and you just kind of roll over and you wake up a little bit, I just start praising him. And then I just start remembering some of his word. For instance, in Psalm 139, and it says, when I awake, I am still with you.
Usually I'll listen to some music, and the beat of the music kind of depends on the mood of the day. But I feel like that time is really transformative for me because I spend time processing things that have been difficult, giving thanks for things that have been good. And just appreciating the Lord for his character.
Whether I'm looking at a glacial river or exquisite wildflowers or freshly fallen snow, or even talking to a beautiful person, wonder is what connects me most with the heart of God.
One of my favorite ways of connecting with God is through watercolors and calligraphy. I find that it brings a lot of joy and peace, and it's really fun. I think I tend to meditate a lot when I color, when I paint, and I think it really helps me to kind of soak in God's word as I do it.
I'll pick a passage of scripture, usually a chapter, and I'll pray through it, and I'll write my prayers down as I go. But I try to focus in on three questions or three things that will help me to grow in my faith.
I best connect with God through meditation, particularly early in the morning or late in the evening. I also like to connect with God through spiritual gospel music.
I find that when I'm at worship nights and large groups of people where we're all different backstories and coming together singing the same truths about God, I'm reminded of his bigness and his ability to work in and through all kinds of people to bring his kingdom here on earth.
When we are in community, we are able to have a relationship with other image of God bearers. And so it's really important and central to me as a person. You know, whenever we are just having a good meal, having a good laugh, it's in those moments, right? It doesn't have to be the super high spiritual, deep conversations, but it's just when we're together, when we're enjoying each other's presence, that's how I feel connected to God, because God enjoys us when we enjoy one another.
People connect with God differently because God's a personal God who's created us with the ability to connect with him in all kinds of different ways. That's just a handful of people from our staff team. I mean, think if we were able to you know, go ahead and talk to all kinds of different people all throughout our sites and venues and hear the different ways that people connect with God. It's all over the map. So here's what I want to do for a minute, okay? I want to take just a really practical step. And I want to give you the chance to be able to think about, like, what are the ways that you personally can connect with God? What are the ways that you've been wired by God? And how can you lean into those strengths in order to grow in your relationship with God personally? You know, like okay, are you a head person? Like, are you a person who just learns? What does it look like for you to be able to take being a head person and bring that into your relationship with God? In the way that you're able to learn different things. That could look like for you, like getting into one of the different courses that's coming up for this fall on all kinds of different subjects, or getting into one of the Black Hawk Bible studies that are happening around here, where you dive deep into God's word and understand more of the way that that works, that your knowledge of God would grow, that it would encourage you in your relationship with God, that it would affect the way you read scripture, the way that you pray. That's something a head person could do. Or maybe you're a heart person. And maybe for you, like, you're a feeler, and the thing that you need to do, maybe you've never been in a community group. Or maybe you have a couple people who are believers that you need to start getting together with them on a regular basis to be able just to talk about what are the things that are going on in your life and what's God doing in each of you. Maybe it has to do with worship music, creating playlists and being able to go for walks in nature and be able to take in worship music that way. Maybe you're a hands person, and maybe for you, it's getting involved in some area, maybe within our impact ministry, to be able to find people who you can serve and then to be able to bring those experiences to God and communicate those with him. You know, look, all I'm saying is that for each of us, we have all kinds of different ways that we can dive into the idea of how it is that we can grow. But okay, with those strengths, we have to be careful that we're not just leaning into strengths. You know, I mean, for a person who loves knowing about God, we have people all over the place who are great at learning about God, but actually that can kind of become like a wall and a barrier. Like, they know all kinds of stuff about God, but it's not affecting their relationship, and they end up more using it as a weapon with other people in order to put them down more than allowing it to be something that draws them close to God. Or maybe you are you're a feeler, you're a heart person, and like you love getting out like it, with the birds and the flowers and all of that and listening to worship music, but like, what are you learning about the character of God, about the depth of who God is, about the power of God, that it might affect the ways that you worship and the ways that you look at God's creation? Or if you're a doer, if you're a hands person, I mean, you're the first person to jump in if ever there's a crisis. But when's the last time you cracked open your Bible, you spent time praying for the people that you're helping in different crises, that might affect your own walk with God? You see, we need to just be able to look at some of these places and not just lean into our strengths, but we also need to be able to challenge ourselves at the ways that these type of situations can help us to grow with God. So, okay, for me personally, one way that happened, when I came on staff at Blackhawk back in 2000, I was coming from actually another church that we had been a part of that was like much more of a traditional church. This was like we read the King James Version of the Bible, choir robes, stained glass windows, you know, that type of an experience. And every week, like, we weren't doing worship music, we were singing hymns, you know, with a pew, with a hymnal that you would pull out, and you sang hymns, you know, line after line that you would go through. And so I came here to become the college pastor at Blackhawk. And one of the first things I did was I went to a college ministry conference. And for other college pastors and college ministry leaders. And one of the big things of this conference was worship music. And this was something that still was kind of like new to me. I felt a little uncomfortable with it. And I remember being there and I went with a buddy who was very much like an extroverted worshiper. You know, maybe you know those people. Maybe you're sitting near an extroverted worshiper, you know, this morning. Hands raised all the time, eyes closed, maybe jumping around a little bit. And so I remember one time we got done with one of the sessions. We had gone to dinner and I was talking to my buddy and he was sharing with me the ways that he connects with God just by being an extroverted worshiper. And it kind of intrigued me. And so then we went into an evening session and we're there and the worship music starts and we're standing. And I remember I'm standing there and I'm thinking, oh, do I do it? Like, do I actually like raise my hands right now? And I'm like looking around and all kinds of people at this thing, they got their hands raised and I'm like, oh. And so I remember like trying to work myself up, like to get there, like to get up enough like courage. And so I'm there and I'm kind of like this, you know, like, this is about as far as I can get. And I'm feeling already uncomfortable just with like the two plates that I'm holding here, you know, in the front. And my buddy is like looking at me and I'm like doing the best that I can. And I remember he reaches over and grabs my arms and puts them up in the air. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, wait, whoa. And now I'm like, okay, what do I do? Because if I put them down, then what does that mean? But if I, and I felt so awkward and uncomfortable as I'm standing there. I have my eyes closed just because I'm afraid of the way that I look. And I started to worship and it felt awkward. And then after a while, it didn't. And then it actually, I started to like feel like I was connecting with God somehow. And let me tell you, it transforms the way that I worship. I'm very much an extroverted worshiper in a lot of situations now. And it's transformed the way that I connect with God just because I had a buddy who was willing to kind of help me step outside my comfort zone and challenge myself to something different. Now, does that mean at the end of this that if during worship, everyone's hands need to be in the air? Absolutely yes. No, I'm kidding. No. But what are the things for you that you can challenge yourself to? This is the thing. Look, if there's nothing else, I want you to hear. You guys, God is so creative. And he's wired you uniquely. And he's wired you uniquely for a reason to be able to connect with him as a personal God. We are personal because we're created in the image of a personal God. And one of the things that we see from Genesis through Revelation is God was not just trying to connect with people then, he's trying to connect with us now because he's personal. And so what does that look like for you? There was a great video that came out a handful of years ago of, it went viral, of this elementary school teacher. And this particular elementary school teacher, I think we've got it, we can show it. So maybe you've seen this before. He gave his students an assignment at the beginning of the year to create a handshake that he would learn and do with every one of his students. And so every single morning, as these students would gather and get in line to be able to do what they did, man, this teacher, every morning, connecting with students. Let's do something for a minute. Let's just watch a few of these. Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do we love watching that? Like, what is it about that video that just draws us in? It's the fact that you see a teacher who is saying to each one of his students, I want to know you, and I want to be known by you. I see you. I understand you. You matter to me. Like, I've got your back. I'm in your corner. And I know your handshake. You see, you realize We have a God who knows your handshake. 7.7 billion people on the planet. He knows your handshake. Let me ask you, how many handshakes do you think you could learn? like, what if all of a sudden I found out, yep, all people at Blackhawk, I'm gonna learn your handshake. Yeah, I am so dead in the water, that is never gonna happen. I have a hard enough time with people's names. I know I've introduced myself to people here who are like, yes, we've met before, you know. See, I'm not good at that, but God is. And that's the thing I think that he wants you to understand this morning. He has a great way that he says it all in Psalm 139. Like, I know we're gonna have it on the screens, but wherever it is that you're watching right now, would you do something with me? Would you just close your eyes? Just soak in this passage for a minute. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in before and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows your handshake, and he longs to be in a deep personal relationship with you. And our hope is that as we journey through everything we're going to between now and May as we live this book, you would come to a deeper understanding of this God who knows everything about you and still chooses to love you. He longs to be in a deep personal relationship with you. What steps can you take this week to move towards him? Let me pray. God, thanks so much. You're as personal as you are. We have a hard time wrapping our minds around that because we can go through times where we feel like you're so distant. It's hard to connect with you at times, but God, thank you that like your word tells us you are personal. You know us better than we know ourselves and you still love us. And so God, even this week, would you help us to understand to deeper levels how we can connect with you? That as we continue on this journey this year, that our walk with you might look different because of an understanding that you, the creative God of the universe, whose image we are created in, that you are personal and you long for deep relationship with us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, as Matt just shared, God is an incredibly personal God. He knows us and he loves us and he wants to be in relationship with us. And in fact, he loves us so much that he actually paved the way for us to be in relationship with him through giving us his son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a personal relationship with our Father. And so we want to pause right now in this service to reflect on that and just really let that sink deep as we take the Lord's Supper together. If you want to participate and did not grab elements as you came in, just raise your hand and somebody will bring some to you. Here at Blackhawk Church, anyone who has made the decision to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus with your life, is welcome to take communion. So if that's you, just raise your hand and you can participate with us. Just a moment. If that is not where you are, that is so okay. Perhaps you're here because somebody dragged you along or you're just kicking the tire and have lots of questions. We are so glad that you're here or watching us. So maybe just take this time to observe or think about some of the things that Matt shared or just listen to the music, whatever is most comfortable for you. But as we take the Lord's Supper together, we reflect and we remember as a community that Jesus died and he was buried, But we also get to celebrate the fact that he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he rose victoriously from the grave, conquering sin and death once and for all, so that we can have a personal relationship with God, so that we can have an eternal relationship with God. And so just let that sink in and reflect on that, and we'll take the elements together in just a few minutes. Betrayed, Jesus took his disciples to a room for one last meal. And he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember him. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me, drink it." And let's remember him. Thank you.
let's remember the words that Jesus told us, his disciples, before he left the earth.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure found.
Thank you.
today. It was so good to worship with all of you. A few reminders is that we have resources to help you engage with the series over the next few months, 9 months to be exact. First of all, we have a podcast that's awesome to listen to, but we also want to encourage you to send in your questions. And then we have the reading plans as well, and there's a few options there. As Pastor Charles reminded us last week, just try to find one that you think you'll finish. But if you head to your website, you can see all the resources there. And as we head into our week, we just want to encourage all of us to remember to take those moments to reflect on the fact that the creator of the universe loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. And that's going to look very different for each of us. Your relationship with God is as unique as the way that he created you to be. So think about how he has wired you. Spend some time digging into that, as Matt encouraged us to do. And then think about what your next steps are to deepen that relationship. And as I thought about just how personal our Father God is, I thought I'd close our time together with a very beautiful personal blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Have a great day.